Welcome to your Daily Cup of Inspiration podcast with Deanna Hobbs, founder of Empowering Everyday Women Ministries, broadcasting live from our headquarters studios in Buffalo, New York. Visit us online at empoweringeverydaywomen.org.
Today's inspiration is to inform you that God is taking you the indirect route. Indirect, for our purposes today, means not straight or not following the shortest, most straightforward, or predictable way. You know, sometimes God takes you on an alternate path or the roundabout way to get to the place He's purposed and designed for you. But don't be fooled by the difficult process or slow progress, because ultimately, this path is leading to a great victory in your life. And hear me, everything God said, He will do for you. He'll do it, just perhaps not the way you were thinking. But you can always trust that His plan is good and effective. His timing is perfect, and His promises are unfailing. Welcome to This Your Tuesday, April 11th, 2023 edition of your Daily Cup of Inspiration podcast. It's Deanna Hobbs here, your bestie from Buffalo, your sister from another mister, your play cousin, bringing you the biggest smiles and the warmest greetings ever. Did y'all have play cousins growing up? You know, you wasn't related at all, right? But you claimed each other as family. Shoot, in my neighborhood, growing up on the east side of Buffalo, New York, being somebody's play cousin was an honor. I still got play cousins that I just call my cousins. I forget that we ain't really related sometimes. A play cousin meant y'all was tight, y'all was thick as thieves, better than real cousins sometimes. Because you didn't get to choose them jokers, right? Whether y'all got along or not, that was your blood. And you was going to have to see them at the family cookout, even if they bullied you and told you that you was ugly and your family was poor. That got real specific. I may or may not be speaking of something some of my real cousins actually said to me. But anyway, mind your business. But you were stuck with whatever family you got. But your play cousin, you picked them to roll with you. So I'm your bestie and your play cousin. We tight like that, period. You picked me to be in your life. And I feel really blessed and honored that you're choosing to be here and that I've got a standing invitation to the family cookout. At least I hope I do. Y'all all right with me, besties? Now, let me say, you can already tell from this introduction that my team done let your girl off punishment. We out sight and off script, okay? So freestyling again up in the studio. Yay, yay. And I am too happy about it. Oh my goodness. So if you hear my mic randomly turn off, know that I've been snatched off the mic and been put in timeout for cutting up again. But you know I'm happy I get to freestyle this podcast, so buckle up, because you don't never know what I'm going to say. Shucks, I don't know what I'm going to say half the time, but we're going to strap in together, see where this goes. How about that, bestie? I've been missing you so much. I like talking to you, but me and my brain, man, we be struggling out here to live up to our responsibilities. It's hard sometimes, bestie, because I be doing my best. Like, sometimes I can't get my mind and my attention span to cooperate with me long enough to focus. You know, my brain is annoying, but thank God it still works, even if only half as well as it did before I had a mini stroke, all those seizures, and ended up with brain trauma in 2019, all from a doggone antibiotic that only 5% of the population is allergic to. Yeah, but how I turned a blessing into a complaint. I was like, I'm blessed. Dang, why I got brain trauma? But this is not off to a good start. But when I get down, though, for real, I think about the fact that my mind could be completely gone, right? Come on, church, but I'm here, a little bit off at times, but here anyway, by the grace of God. I like to joke that I only got 3 screws left in my head. 2 of them is missing and 1 is loose. Some might say I'm a few fries short of a happy meal, or I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. But I'm here, though, fully showing up as I am. And I refuse to be ashamed about who I am today. God brought me through something so traumatic. So the fact that I'm even here, like, no playing, for real, despite my brain being random and my mouth being embarrassing sometimes, it's a blessing. And I'm not going to stop showing up. Now, I don't know how often I'm going to show up because that's a different struggle. But I get here as often as I can. Oh, you know what, bestie? By the way, God had me revisit this word that he gave to me in March of 2022. I wrote that thing down and brought it with me in the studio so I wouldn't forget it. So this was a little more than a year ago, right? And it was the first time I was podcasting as new Deanna. If you remember that and you were here, like the first time I brought out new Deanna, like, and I told y'all about my Prozac and my breakdowns and being manic and twerking in the mall and all that, you OG, you a real one, if you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, I don't even know where to tell you to go. You just got to go through a bunch of podcasts. You'll find it. But I was struggling at the time, you know, letting you hear what I sound like when my teammate heavily edited me, when they not scripting the podcast and polishing me up, you know. And it was the first time I was consistently going live on air, just raw, just me, no edits, losing my train of thought, telling humiliating stories, showing my offbeat sense of humor, like taking them too long water breaks, which you might get at least one or two of today because my throat be dry. And so, period. But anyway, I was so embarrassed. I wanted to give up on my podcast altogether and just go into hiding. And God said this to me. He said, I am not embarrassed of you. That's a personal hang up. You feel embarrassed, but don't project your issues of accepting new Deanna onto me. You are fully loved, fully accepted, and fully endorsed by me. What else is there? Bruh, that word blessed me last year, still blesses me this year. I'm accepted by God. And he also sent me you, who is so accepting. Wait, or is it our so accepting? You who is our... Anyway, you know I be forgetting how to say stuff right sometimes. But you love and accept me. Boom. How about that? You encourage me and pray for me. You receive what God is giving me for you and don't mind me showing up as my hot mess self, traumatic brain injury and all. And I love you. I love us and the unbreakable bond we share as a faith community. I truly hope and pray, though, that by my example, you can see that it's really okay to show up as you are. It's okay. God can use you, flaws and all. He loves you, bestie. And so do I. We gonna be the best we can together. How about that? Because God honors your try. What do I mean by that? Well, he sees the effort you put in. He knows your heart. Now, you might not get all the way everything right, just like I didn't do that sentence. Just like that sentence was jacked up. You might jack up some stuff, but he sees your try. Just don't quit trying every day. Say, today, I'm going to try to trust God a little more. I'm going to try to stop being so negative. I'm going to try not to engage in pettiness. I'm going to try to love myself and other folks. And the beautiful thing is that God takes your effort and puts his supernatural power on it and accomplishes more for you, in you, and through you than you ever thought was possible. Ain't that neat? That's how it works. So it's like the saying goes, nothing beats a failure but a try. So don't stop trying out here. You'll be surprised what a difference your effort can make in your life or even in others' lives, whether you feel like you're having a significant impact or not. And speaking of making an impact, man, our ministry team gets the best testimonies. And we got one from a precious member of our faith community named Pauline, who's from Georgia. Hey, Pauline. And my team passed the message along to me. And this is what Pauline wrote into the ministry and said, Dear Deanna, I was recently diagnosed with clinical depression. It runs in my family, but I wanted to stay in denial until it got to be too much. The diagnosis made me feel like a failure in my faith. I was taught that the joy of the Lord is our strength and praise chases depression away. What is wrong with me? I thought. But a friend sent me some of your podcast episodes after my diagnosis where you talk honestly, openly, and transparently about your mental health, therapy, medication, and I could relate so much. I have never cried such happy tears listening to a podcast in all my life. Having a safe space where it is okay to own the reality of my mental health. See, I'm getting that frog in my throat. I'm like, Pauline, wear me out. Where it's okay to own the reality of my mental health, without feeling like I'm a failure in my faith is a priceless treasure, and so are you. Wow, your forthrightness is strengthening the body of Christ. Please continue to share your faith and mental health journey. Thank you for what you do. Now, bestie, whew, you know this made my heart leap for joy and my eyes start sweating. somebody cutting onions in the studio. But, you know, these testimonies just, they confirm that God's purpose prevails in all things, right? Pauline, I'm just honored and humbled that God is using me as a vessel to minister to you. And your mental illness has nothing to do with the strength of your faith. God loves you. You are not defective. You are an effective tool in the hands of God. And y'all know what I want to do next. Besties, can we get a praise break right here?
And inspiring testimonies like this remind us that God is transforming lives through this ministry. We are grateful for your support that keeps these broadcasts available online as a free resource to help others grow in their faith. If you are being blessed and you believe in our mission to share the gospel, sow a seed of any size at empoweringeverydaywomen.org/donate. Thank you for your generosity.
Woo, glory to God. All right, bestie. All right. I done got excited and emotional in the studio. And it's time to get into the meat of today's encouraging word. But first, a quick prayer. God, I just thank you. You didn't have to gather us together here to hear a word from you, but you did. And so I pray for every single person that stopped to press play. They didn't have to be here, but I believe that this is a divine assignment. You sent them. Word my mouth. Give me something to say that will let them know that you are with them and that will encourage their heart to keep on pushing forward. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen, amen, and amen. Let the church say amen. Did y'all sing that at y'all church or is that just me? All right. So, bestie, one of my uncles on my daddy's side passed away a few weeks ago. Now, because of brain trauma, I don't remember him too well, but losing a loved one is a sad time for the fam. And so family members came in from out of town from my uncle's home going. And of course, while they were in town, they wanted to get together, right? Eat, hang out, fellowship, you know, during sad times when mourning the death of a loved one, families like to hold each other close. And death just has a way of making you think about how fragile life is and how tomorrow isn't promised to any of us, doesn't it? So my uncle, though, he lived a long time. He was blessed with longevity. He was in his 90s when he passed. My dad preached the funeral for his brother. It was hard for dad and he was sad, but he got through it by God's grace. And I wasn't there at the homegoing service, though, because it can still be hard for me to go out to places where there are a lot of people. It could even be family. Brain trauma makes me feel really scared and panicky in public, especially when there's a large group of people around that know me. It's so uncomfortable, bruh. I know I've been making progress, right, since my traumatic brain injury in August 2019. It's going on 4 years now, but the progress has been kind of slow. Sometimes kind of slow. I'm still praying, believing God, taking my Prozac, going to therapy, using my coping strategies, all the things that I can do on my end. But I still have panic attacks and freak out a little bit in the crowd. Keep on praying for me. And if you ever see me in public, don't run up on me. I've told you this before. Don't run up on me and assume I know you because I used to know you. You will scare the daylights out of me and you might get cussed out. Not for real. And I won't cuss you out maliciously. Don't turn the podcast off like, oh, she just got hood with me. No. It's not that. Like, if this is your first time hearing me talk about cussing somebody out, I have mentioned before that cussing thing has been happening to me since I sustained brain trauma. So let me qualify that statement, right? If I had a choice, I wouldn't cuss you out. I really wouldn't. I lost some of my language, so my brain fills it in with cuss words. And so I was diagnosed with something called global aphasia in 2019. So it disrupts four language functions: speaking, reading, writing, and comprehending what others are saying. I had trouble in all these areas. Man, I had to learn how to write again. And there were things that I could read, but I couldn't understand. And I couldn't understand what people were saying. It was just a lot. And then I had to learn how to say words, and it was a mess. So I've made so much progress, but I do still struggle in some ways. And strokes are the leading cause of aphasia. And bestie, embarrassing story incoming. Like, when my family was here visiting for my uncle's funeral last month, I went to my sister Chevette's house to see everybody. Chevette's house is the gathering spot, right? We all go over there. She got a nice, spacious house and everything. So my mom and dad were there. Some of my nieces and nephews and siblings were there, too. And one of my brothers, bestie, his name is Joseph. Is he the third? I don't know. I think it was a Joseph child. I don't know. Joseph. We call him JoJo. OK. And he was here in Buffalo from North Carolina, where he lives. And so he walks into the room. I lay eyes on him. Bestie, I ain't recognize him. Not his face, not his voice. Everything was foreign to me. It was like looking at a stranger. And when I learned who he was, my brother JoJo, who's just a few years older than me, man, I started crying. I was so emotional. I was sad. I was shocked. I was confused that I couldn't recognize my own brother's face and voice. That thing tore me up. So I'm standing in my sister's dining room, boohooing, right? And then the cussing started because I was frazzled. So every time I tried to say something because I was overwhelmed, aphasia showed up like an uninvited ghetto friend. Like, I got you, sis, about to throw you some F-bombs. There you go. And I was like, no, aphasia, read the room. No, my sanctified family is here. My mother's here. Please. Aphasia was like, nah, sis, do us. Do you, right? And then boom, there was an F-bomb, an S-word, B-word coming out. Now, mind you, my mama is a pastor's wife, my former first lady, until she and daddy moved away. She's a woman who is sweet as pie and don't never say nothing bad about nobody, let alone a cuss word. So I'm standing there. She's hearing her daughter, evangelist, Bible teacher, ministry leader, faith warrior, just dropping cuss words. I mean, them big, juicy, ignorant cuss words. Them, you ain't got no home training cuss words. Them, you might be the perpetrator of gang violence cuss words. Just dropping them all over the place. And I know in my brain, it's like, sis, hey, we wasn't raised like this. Stop. Child, I was so humiliated and couldn't stop. I kept apologizing and then cussing. So it was a cussology, my cussing and apologies. I wanted to disappear through the floor. I was like, please, God, make it stop. But of course, my mom didn't say anything negative. No, she not like that. So she told me it was okay, but I could see the concern for me in her eyes, right? I'm a mama. When my kids are going through something, I care about it. If they hurt, and it hurts me. Like, she watching me stand there and cry because I can't recognize my brother, and she know I got brain trauma. Not an easy thing, right? So she knew I was hurt, because I didn't know JoJo and that I was embarrassed that this whole thing was happening. But moments like that remind me that I'm different, like real different. Excuse me, I really did just burp. Why I always gotta get gas on my freestyle days, right? If I was being scripted, well, I might have gas and they might edit it. Anyway, so some stuff has changed in me like real radically. And I can't control it or change it back, at least for now, right? I don't know what God plans to do, but it's hard still. Almost 4 years later, it's hard. But you know what? The Lord put it on my heart. He told me to share that recent experience with you, my cussology experience. Because he said to me, I don't ever want you to be ashamed of your scars, of who you are or your imperfections. God also explained to me that you, bestie, need to be reminded that, look, we all have personal struggles, right? Brain trauma or not, we all have moments when we don't feel like we're at our best, when we wish we could change something or improve ourselves or respond different or drop that habit or be better. And sometimes we just slander ourselves. Like, I feel the Holy Spirit telling me to park it here. We can be so mean to ourselves. Stop that. I tend to get mean to myself at night. My therapist was helping me understand that sometimes when I get exhausted, you know, my mind just turns negative. And so, and then everybody in my family be like, okay, and now it's time for you to go to bed. Because I get negative. But even if you're not dealing with a mental health condition, your mind can go negative on you in the night. And not like a literal night, but a metaphorical night. How about when it's dark in your life and you can't see your way, right? When you're confused, when you don't see that light at the end of the tunnel, at night you go negative. And God is saying he wants you to start praising at night. Like Paul and Silas, I believe they praised at midnight in the Bible. And that's how the jail broke open. Sometimes the shackles will fall off our lives if we can stop being negative in the night and start praying. That's a spiritual word for you. And still, we don't always get it right, right? I don't. Sometimes, you know, my brain goes negative and it's hard and I don't have power on my own to change it, but I still trust the Lord. But that whole idea to want to be better in some way, that's not unique to anyone. We all like that. But there's this amazing love and acceptance that we experience from God when we show up in our true form. And that doesn't mean that we just take pleasure in being a hot mess. But I'm talking about those real struggles, those things that you don't know how to address, and that even in your best efforts, you can't change them on your own. That stuff, that trauma related stuff. Oh, sometimes you will have a trauma response to something and you won't want to do it like that, and you'll do it, right? And God loves you. And he's telling me to tell you he loves you. And so while this whole cussing and apology session was happening in front of my family, bestie, JoJo hugged me, told me it was okay while I was bawling. I got reassuring hugs and kindness and compassion from my whole family. I was told not to judge myself too harshly. They're amazing people. Like my kids, Kyla, Kaya, Kadar, and Caleb, my husband, Kenya, the best people in the whole world. They never make me feel bad, right? But I can make myself feel bad. And because my own brain will shame me every step of the way. Does your mind and that guilt ever shame you when you're having a moment, right? I got to tell you something. You got to know that God loves you. Even when you're inappropriate, he loves you, right? Even when you don't make the best decision, he loves you. For me, even when I'm inappropriate, foul mouth, feeling not brave, confused, or thinking about how inadequate I am, how ratchet I sound, guess what? He loves me anyway. And while we don't understand everything about why we go through what we go through, it's still something God, he has his hand in. That's what I want to say. God has his hand in it. It's still a part of his bigger plan. And so God told me, you know, don't shy away from these things, Deanna, these personal stories and details of your life, because I'm going to use you just the way you are. Bestie, you know how sometimes we feel like after God fixes me, or, you know, after I get this or that together, or after I'm in some other better position down the road, it's going to be better. God's going to use me and my life will be on track. Well, I submit to you that right now God is doing something in you and through you, and he's not waiting until you feel like, now I'm there. Stop thinking you got to wait for the day when you and your circumstances are perfect in order to step into your promise. Who told you that lie? Because if you think that, you are never going to do anything God has called you to do. You're never going to be 100% where you think you should be. You're going to always want more and aspire for better. And that's cool. But don't let that aspiration for better and greater things stop you from stepping out in faith, right? And you may not understand all your life experiences, just like I haven't always understood mine. Am I rambling, bestie? Sometimes I feel like I just be running my mouth and not saying nothing. Am I rambling? So what? Thank you for listening. But what was I saying? Shoot, here we go. You might not understand your life experiences. I think that's what I was saying. I haven't always understood mine, and I'm 46 years old. Oh, shoot, I remember how old I am. See, bestie, sometimes I don't. Today, I know I'm 46. I will be 47 in November. Hallelujah. So anyway, lost my thought again. See, ain't that a mess? I don't even know what I was saying. Shoot. But anyway, so I want you to know that this indirect route God has you on, it might be full of winding roads. This is what I really want to say. Twists and turns, adversity, opposition, uncertainty, confusion, even hurt and pain. But it doesn't stop the plan of God, right? Think about King David in 1 Samuel 16. He was a teenager when God had the prophet Samuel anoint him to be king. But man, David didn't actually get to be the king till he was 30 years old before he became king. Because he was on the run from King Saul, who was trying to kill David every 5 minutes. But wouldn't it seem like, since God prophesied that the crown already belonged to David, that he wouldn't need to run for his life and live the hard existence as and live like this hard existence as a fugitive in the wilderness in order to obtain the promise? I mean, dang, God, the one said it. Well, that's what an indirect route looks like. It doesn't go the way you think it will, but the end result is victory every time. I know at least a few of my besties listening are traveling an indirect route like me. You're going through a process that leaves you with questions like, well, God, what's next for me? Or how am I going to get from here to my goals? How is what I'm doing now in the state and condition that I am in any way connected to what my ultimate purpose is? Or you wonder, do the steps and actions I'm taking today really matter or make any difference at all? Those are the kinds of questions that the indirect route produces. And those are legitimate questions that we have when we're going the roundabout way through those turns and detours, ups and downs, hills and valleys, highs and lows. But you'll get there, bestie, because God promised. Look at me showing up. A mess sometimes, but I'm showing up. And I believe that somebody is blessed by me showing up, right? So I want you to show up. It won't be a straight shot always, but you'll reach your divine destiny guaranteed, right? Just like David did. It took years, but he got there. Then, bestie, God pointed out something for me in 2 Samuel 5, which is the chapter that lets us see when David first became king. Yeah, it finally happened, right? And as I told you, he was 30 years old when it happened. And you know why this is significant? Because Jesus, the Messiah, who was called the Son of David, he began his public ministry at 30, just like David became king at 30. Want to know something else cool? Scholars say that Jesus was 33 years old when he died, right? He started his public ministry at 30, and then and it was only for 3 years. So he was 33 when he died. And you know how long King David reigned in Jerusalem over all of Israel and Judah? For 33 years. Whoa, right? That's so cool. Now, David's total reign was 40 years, but his reign over all of Israel, over everybody, that was 33 years exactly. So then, you know what that tells me, bestie? God is strategic and specific with his plan and timing. So 30 may have seemed like a late start for David, considering how long ago he was prophesied that he was going to be king. Correct? Similarly, 30 may have seemed like a late start for Jesus, considering how long ago he was prophesied the king of the Jews, the Messiah. But the parallels between the Old Testament David and the New Testament son of David make the timing seem impeccable because we're able to draw a parallel between Jesus and David. Like, God prophesied to David that his kingdom would never end, and this promise would be fulfilled through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Oh, and we just celebrated Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus is alive. And so is his word. His word, when you look into it, it will answer questions for you. And you see that the timing of God is perfect, right? And that's the point I hope I was able to make well with the David and Jesus comparison. But the indirect route may seem senseless or confusing, but hear me, it makes perfect sense. And in God's eyes, he's clear about why he does things the way he does them. We just need to trust him. That's our job. Like, we might do stuff for no reason And the stuff we do makes no logical sense, but God doesn't work like that. You know, speaking of something that don't make no sense, bestie, a few weeks ago, on a random afternoon, I got the not so bright idea to cut my hair. And no, not just a little trim either. No, your girl over here grabbed a pair of scissors, randomly chose violence against my hair. Some newborn babies have more hair than I had when I cut it off recently, for real. And then do you know that when my uncle passed away, then my family came in town and I was extra bald. And was I embarrassed? I sure was. I sure was. And it didn't help that I cut my hair. The first day I cut my hair was on a day when the weather forecast was predicting that the temperature was going to drop down in the 20s that night. Ma'am, what was you doing? So since I randomly got sister happy, whenever a cool breeze would blow, it felt like somebody was icing my scalp. And I'm not used to having such a little bit of hair anymore, which is why lately hoodies have been my best friend both inside and outside the house. I just be cold. You know what, bestie? My hair, though, has grown a little bit since that day. But when I first turned into a chopping maniac, when I was finished, I knew my hair had not been that short since I first went natural and did the big chop back in like March 2015. In fact, I think my teeny weeny afro back then was longer. My hair was short a few weeks ago. You know what else? The month I cut it marked the 8th year anniversary of my natural hair journey. How about that? And since 8 is the number of new beginnings, I guess it was kind of fitting that I started over. Look at me trying to bring logic and reason to a stupid decision. I was bald and cold for no reason, okay? So what? Anyway, just go with it, dang. Happy natural hair anniversary to me. Be nice if I had some hair to celebrate it. Hold on, I need some water. You know how you be... Yeah, you'd be trying to make something you did sound better. Oh my gosh. It wasn't even. I just cut it. It was all patchy. Okay, so anyway. And then I have these little coils. So when they separate, you get in coils of scalp. It's giving, I don't know. Anyway, so now that I'm thinking about my hair though. Excuse me again. It's a mess. Don't stop. Don't turn off the podcast. I'm sorry. I've guessed. So now that I'm thinking about my hair, it was short more recently than 2015. Yeah, because in August 2019, this is after I got back home from the hospital, bro. My hair started falling out in clumps. Had I ever told you this? I did not just say, had I ever told you this? Have I ever told you? Thank you for listening. Goodbye. I didn't understand what was happening when I saw my hair going down the drain in that shower one day. And then I found out, bestie, hair loss was a side effect of this anti-seizure medication specialist had gave me in the ICU to help calm my brain activity down. Clearly, it didn't work because I had a bunch of seizures. So, yeah, there's that. But I guess my hair hasn't been this short since around then. This time around, though, ain't no medicine or nobody else to blame that I went all Edward Scissorhands on my curls all by myself. And though I love short hair and think it looks beautiful, I still own that there was no reason for me to chop my hair off like that. Okay. So stop looking at me, judging me. Dang. Have you ever did something and you ain't know why, and you knew it was like no real rhyme or reason, and you felt like that probably was kind of stupid? Or maybe it wasn't necessarily bad, but maybe unnecessary and purposeless. Humans do that. But what's the point? God don't. That was a long way of telling you. We do dumb stuff. God don't. We do stuff that don't make no sense, and it doesn't have any real purpose. God doesn't work like that. And so you can trust him. Even when he takes you on a path that doesn't seem the most logical to you, know that he's up to something. In this same chapter that we're discussing today in 2 Samuel 5, something else I want to tell you. In verse 17, So when the Philistines, David's longest rivals, they heard that David had been anointed over all Israel as king, here they came, starting trouble. And David was the one who embarrassed them by beating their fiercest warrior, Goliath, right? Cutting his head off in 1 Samuel 17. So there was definitely some bad blood between David and the Philistines. So the Philistines came and took over the Valley of Rephaim. And Rephaim means giants. So here's the Philistine in the Valley of Giants. Let me park for a minute. You know how you feel like when I get to a certain place, I arrive there, I'm not going to have to deal with certain stuff. I can't wait. Who told you that? You're going to be disappointed, boo-boo. Because let me tell you what, like the higher you go up, the more intense the attack. So David did all that running, right? From King Saul trying to kill him. Finally, he gets anointed king. Like, whew, the word of God is manifested. He did not walk in time into a time of peace. So he was the king and God had fulfilled his promise to David, but David still had to fight through adversity. See, sometimes we think when we have a fight or when something don't come easy, must not be the will of God. Who told you that? That's a lie from the devil. Whoever said that going to hell with gasoline draws on for lying. Okay, maybe that was too much. It's too much. But that ain't true. It can be hard and still from God. You can be crying and struggling through it and it's still from God. You can get so much resistance and pushback and God's favor is still on your life. You can step into your promised land and the giants are still waiting for you and the army still rise against you, but you don't have to worry because God is for you. Uh-oh, come on. I felt my preach rise up, huh? Maybe somebody need to invite me to your church. Bring me to a community center just in case I drop an F-bomb. It won't happen in the sanctuary. Y'all embarrassed to bring me to your church? Y'all not going to invite me no more? Whatever, forget you. I guess I have to preach on the corner. So I was thinking about David, though. And when the Philistines came after him, you know what David did? Scripture says David prayed to God and asked God. He said, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will certainly hand the Philistines over to you. But that wasn't the end of the conversation. In verse 23, bestie, God added this command. He said to David, you shall not go directly up. Uh-oh, he said, wait a minute. I'm going to show you how to do it. Because sometimes we get so gung-ho, right, about going. I'm going to do what God said do. Yeah, but you got to wait for clarity and directions because there's a way that God wants us to do it. So he said, I don't want you to go directly. I'm going to send you an indirect route. God said, circle around behind them and come at them in front of the Baal shrubs. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the Baal shrubs, you're going to hear a sound that God has indicated means go up, right? He said, then you shall act promptly, for then the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines. So God said, I want you to go the indirect route, go around the back way, a way that the enemy is not going to expect. And then I'm going to release a sound. And when you hear that sound, then you will know that the Lord has gone before you. And then I want you to strike. So what did David do? He took that indirect route that God said. He went behind the Philistines and attacked them from an alternate place that they wouldn't be expecting. And verse 25 says, then David did so just as the Lord had commanded him. He struck and killed the Philistines. Look at that. He won the victory. And here's the point. Here's the point, bestie. God doesn't do everything the conventional way, right? You ain't gonna always understand the reasons and seasons he ordains and allows. But if you ask God for direction, he gonna give it to you. Your way might not always seem clear, but if you say yes to God, even on that indirect, uncommon, confusing, treacherous, frustrating path, he will give you the victory, just like he gave it to David and all of Israel. See, we have this need to make everything logical and practical and understandable. That will drive you crazy in the kingdom of God because you can't predict God's ways or choose the path that you're going to take. Trust me, I know, bestie. It's all in God's hands. So you know what you got to do? You just keep doing what you're supposed to do. Keep praying. Keep on working. Keep on showing up. Keep on pushing. When it seems hard, keep your head up. And I promise when it's the right time, everything will come together in the end. And don't wait for things to be perfect. When God says go, you might feel like me, go now. You think I don't feel like that, bestie? You think I don't feel like really God? So you want me to teach them about being victorious with mental health issues and my cussology sessions? God, you really? And the Lord said, yep, I want you to go just like that. I promise you, though, when it's the right time, everything's going to come together in the end. God is going to cause all things to what? Come on, you know it. Work together for your good. And so today, bestie, God is leading me to stir Isaiah 55 and 8 through 9 in the Message Bible into your cup of inspiration. These are God's words directly to you right now. He sent me to tell you. He says this in scripture: I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is beyond the way you think. Isn't that good? As you drink down the contents of your cup, bestie, stop trying to figure God out and trust him to work things out for you. He'll do it. Doesn't have to make sense to you, because we serve a sovereign God who knows all things and is more than able to do anything. And that's exactly what he's going to do for you. Anything that you need, he's going to do it. Anything that you must have to survive and to reach your appointed destiny, he is going to release to you. All right. Now, let me close out with this prayer for you. God, I pray for this, my sister, this, my brother. They don't always understand your ways. There are so many hopes and dreams they have, Lord, so many promises you've spoken over them, and so many things about which they are still waiting for clarity. But thank you for sending this word to assure them that their set time of breakthrough is on the way, and everything will come together for them in the best way possible, according to your perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your daily cup of inspiration has been brought to you by Empowering Everyday Women Ministries, where we fuel your faith every day. For more information, log on to yourdailycupofinspiration.com.